Next item is discussion and possible action on the comprehensive annual financial report. John Hall.
Thank you again, Mr. Chairman. As you all know, in January, we present our annual report to the board as actually required by statute, and received our CAF, our comprehensive annual financial report, in your packet in draft form, as well as the auditor's opinion. And what I want to do is take a few minutes to go through this, and then the second part of our presentation will actually be presented by our auditor, Frank Thornton. The partner in charge, Ben Conley, is not here yet. He's been delayed, but he will be here shortly. I've talked with him, and hopefully it won't delay us too much. But I'm going to go through the first part anyway before we get to his part. As you can see on the overview, I'm going to talk a little bit about the purpose of the annual report, some of the highlights of it, some of the significant events that we had this last year in the 05 year, and then again, our independent auditor, Grant Thornton, will have a presentation there. First point on the purpose, obviously the main purpose of a annual report or audited annual report is to present the financial results fairly of our operations, which a lot of this I'm sure is we talked about last year and is familiar to you all. We do it in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. We also follow the Government Accounting Standards Board. There are two accounting standard boards in the United States. There's the Financial Accounting Standards Board, which regulates private or commercial activity, and then the Government Accounting Standards Board writes standards that regulate really the way you do accounting for governmental bodies like ourselves. You may remember a couple of years ago they had issued GASB 34, statement number 34, and that was really a very significant statement in changing the way that we reported government schedules and reports and things like that. We implemented that in FY03, so this is really the third year of implementation of it. There's really been no changes. There's been a little bit of refinement, but no significant changes to the way GASB 34 was implemented back in 03, but this is just a continuation of that, but I wanted to bring your attention to that. And then the final purpose of it is really is for compliance. Since the Brazos River Authority is a recipient of federal and state grants, we fall under certain fairly strict compliance rules in regards to receiving those funds, and that we have to complete what is referred to as a single audit. And that is another report that's actually in your book. You have the CAFR itself, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. Then you have the single audit, and that's in a Grant Thornton. That's actually a Grant Thornton report that they have, which reports on all of our federal and state grants. And then the last report is the Management Advisory Comments Report, which is also in your book, which again, Grant Thornton will talk about a little bit later. But one of the main elements is reports that we're in compliance with federal and state requirements as far as our as far as those grant programs are concerned. Next slide. Report highlights, and again we've talked about this before, just but to help reemphasize it, the CAFR, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, is of course a historical document. It's looking backwards and giving a report of what happened in the previous fiscal year. As we mentioned, it's done on GAAP accounting, on accrual base accounting, not necessarily on a cash basis. So therefore, its results are going to be a little different than the budgeted results that you all see on a quarterly basis. We'll talk about that in just a minute. And then, of course, as I've said, the budget that you all approve and that we track is really looking forward, of course, as you look at it. And, of course, it's on a cash basis because that's really what's most meaningful from a management standpoint and from a board standpoint to see where we're headed is really on a cash basis. So On the report highlights, again, as you look at the CAFR itself, it's broken into three sections. The first section is the introductory section. It includes things like the names and pictures of the board of directors and of some of the members of the management team, organizational chart. It has the transmittal letter that Phil and I signed. That gives you a little bit of a highlight of what's happened in the year and some of the highlights of the financial performance. And then it also includes a certificate from the GFOA, the Government Finance Officers Association, because we apply every year for what they call a certificate of excellence, which indicates that we have followed and complied with all of the requirements under the Government Finance Officers Association in our reporting. And I'm happy to report that we received, the 19th straight year, we received the certificate of excellence for the last year, the 04 year report, which is what's included in the book. And that, of course, we'll submit this particular CAFR for fiscal year 05. We'll submit it and expect to get receive the award again next year, and that'll be in next year's book. But that's all in the introductory section. And the financial section is what we would normally expect. It starts with what's called the MD&A, the Management Discussion and Analysis, which is a new section that was put in based on GASB 34 that I just talked about, which is really a summary of the financial results. It's designed to help the board members and citizens and stuff understand the financial statements a little bit better and summarize some of the results. So that's what's the first part of the financial section. Then the next item is the financial statements themselves, the statement of net assets and the statement of changes in net assets, the statement of cash flows, and then there's the notes to the financial statement, and then there's some supplemental information part of the financial section. And then the last section is statistical section. As you can see, it's really unaudited, but it includes a series of schedules that hopefully gives the reader a little more information about the authority, both from an operational and a financial standpoint. It shows some trends. It shows multi-year, in some cases, of activity, and just helps provide a better glimpse into how well the authority performed. Next. Under significant events, and again, a lot of this is would be very familiar to y'all, but I just wanted to summarize it. These were some of the activities that we had just in general this last year that really impacted the financials and impacted our operations. Certainly our systems operation and system permit process was a big project in 05 and continue to be in 06. Our cost of service model and pricing strategy is also a project that we're continuing with and getting near. We will be bringing that model over in-house in this fiscal year, in the 06 fiscal year this year. The East Williamson County Regional Water System, that was the acquisition of the City of Taylor water treatment plant that we've now incorporated into our water supply system operations. We had a full year, FY05 was the first full year of operations of that particular facility. The Sugarland wastewater operations, as you all can remember, that we bid, were invited to bid on both the operation that we had, the north plant, as well as the south plant. We won that and are now the operator of both facilities. In so doing, we transferred back the ownership, if you will, to the plant, to the City of Sugarland that we had pursuant to the transfer agreement. If you noticed in your, I think it was in the transmittal letter, that was effective really November the 1st. So it was actually effective after fiscal year 2005 occurred. But we now are the operators of both of those facilities in the City of Sugarland now. Various Possum Kingdom projects, as we all know, various things going on. But specifically on the capital side, the continued gate replacement rehabilitation projects of gates 5 through 9 is a big part of it, and the ESP, the elevator stairs and penstocks rehab, big parts of the project, and then of course the Stallback study and various analysis of PK operations is ongoing. A number of water quality initiatives in the Bosque and the Brazos area that we have involved ourselves in. Of course, several of them are state and federally funded. And then the raw water line, we completed the remediation of the Williamson County Regional Raw Water Line in FY04. It is now operational, and we're left with the really continuing to negotiate with the surety member of that. And then the SWATS remediation, again, as we all know, is a continuing project that we continue to work on and work through that. And then finally, the Lake Allen Henry transfers. Pursuant to the request of the City of Lubbock and the way it was originally set up, we did transfer by the end of fiscal year 2005 the Lake Allen Henry project and
Lake was transferred back to the city of Lubbock, both from an asset and a liability standpoint, and we wrote off the asset and wrote off the debt on our books. You'll see in a minute the impact of that from an accounting standpoint, but that was a significant element this year. So those are generally the significant events for the year. Okay, as we look at, this is sort of an important slide. I want to take a few minutes to help you understand, because the results that come out of the conference, the annual report, are significantly different than the results that I report to you all in the fourth quarter from a budget standpoint, from a dollar standpoint. I want to explain those differences because it can be confusing and somewhat surprising at times as to those, but it all makes sense. Looking back at fiscal year 2005, the budget you all adopted back, it was actually adopted back in July 2004, before 2005, was about $500,000 surplus. When at our last meeting in October, I reported the results from a budgetary standpoint for the year that we would actually, instead of just having surplus about $500,000, we'd make about $2 million from a budgetary standpoint. Keep in mind this is really more on a cash flow basis, but that was really what the budgetary results were for FY05. From a CAFR standpoint, if you looked in your CAFR, you'd see that that $2 million surplus actually became an $8.2 million loss from a CAFR standpoint. But as you can see in the middle column, I'll explain what that is, and a lot of those are accounting. The difference, again, between GAAP-based accounting and accrual-based accounting and cash basis. So from a cash standpoint, we were really very close to what we had originally talked about, but then there were some other transactions. The first thing you can see that reconciles that $2 million to the negative $8 million, there were some expenditures after we did the budget report and through the audit process on a net basis that we incurred that we ended up having to expense for the year. And that ended up being about $280,000 on a net basis. So actually you could say that our surplus, really instead of being $2 million, was about $1.7 million some odd dollars for the year after audit adjustments. We had some projects that we carry in the capital project side of the budget that end up under GAAP that must be expensed. And so that's where a lot of that is that we end up expensing those, and so because they don't really have a future value of more than 2 years. So that's where that $280,000 for the most part comes through. Then another item is the depreciation versus debt service. From a budgetary standpoint, we report both principal and interest payments, debt service, as budgeted expenditures. But from a GAAP standpoint, principal payments are actually booked as a reduction of the liability, of the debt liability. They are not expenditures, but instead you have depreciation that most of us all familiar with that we have to book. So it's sort of a substitution of the principal of the debt service that comes off the books and the depreciation that goes on the books for our CAFR standpoint. And that actually amounted to $4.7 million more depreciation than there was debt service principal payments. So that's actually a additional expense, if you will, to the income statement. That's not really, it's a non-cash expense. So there's no cash impact, but it's an additional expense. And then capital contributions, that $4.2 million really represents two things. It's the city of Sugar Land. We're managing a capital project for them and a capital rehab of that plant. And they pay us the money. They reimburse us for the cost. Well, again, under GAAP, we have to recognize that as revenue, even though the asset is not really, it's really capitalized on the books, so the expenses on the books as an asset, but the revenue goes to our income statement. So we have to recognize that as revenue. And then another thing, TxDOT, you may remember that we have a project with TxDOT here on the raw water line where they are paying to relocate our raw water line to put in, I believe, a convenience area out there on the highway. They're reimbursing us for that. We also have to recognize that as revenue. So that's revenues that we don't recognize from a budgetary standpoint because it's really offset, the reimbursements, but from an accounting standpoint, we have. So that's an add. And then the very last thing, as I alluded to, was the Lake Allen Henry transfer, and it just says gain or loss on sale of asset, but that's really what it is. When we transferred Lake Allen Henry, we, of course, had to write off the asset, the project itself, And then the debt we also were carrying that Lubbock was paying us for over time. But what happened was that the debt was being paid off faster than the asset was being depreciated. So the asset was on the books at X originally. The debt was on the book at X. But the debt was being paid down quicker over the last several years. And so the asset had a higher value. So when you wrote the asset off and the debt, you actually ended up with an excess, created a loss from a book standpoint. Now, again, there was no cash impact to that. It was just strictly a book entry that removed it from our books. And obviously, it was always anticipated, I suspect, at one point that we would transfer that back to the city of Lubbock. So over time, that may have closed and become more balanced. But at this particular point, it created a significant accounting loss as a result of that transfer to $9.4 million. So when you take all those into account, you can see that brings you to the $8.2 million loss that is reported from account. And you can see that the entire loss, if you didn't have the Lake Allen Henry transaction, you'd actually have a net gain of about $1.5 million or so. So that's sort of a reconciliation of the budgeted results to the capital results. And I have another slide, but I'll be happy to answer any questions if that. I know that can be confusing at times, and I'll try to explain it better if it wasn't clear. Okay, we'll go to the next slide. And this is just for information, just to give you sort of a three. This is in your, again, in the CAFR. Back in the statistical section, there's a little more detail on this. It's a three-year look of some of these key economic and financial indicators. This is for our entire operation, and this is based on an annual report on the CAFR basis. But it just sort of shows where our revenues and expenses and income and things are as they compare. You can see for the most part that our operating revenues for the last 3 years have been fairly consistent. There was a little bit of a blip in 2004, and that's because we had about $1 million in pollution control bond fees that we received in 2004 that we didn't receive in the other 2 years to that extent. And so that created that sort of difference. In addition, the operating expenses side, again, it was sort of consistent with what we saw from a budgetary standpoint, but expenses did go up some for the 04 from 03 to 04, but you can see that they're very steady between 04 and 05, so that's consistent. And conversely, the income, you can see the trend is going down. Actually, I will point out that in 05, we had another item involving depreciation that we had a one-time adjustment to depreciation. We changed our depreciation method this last year to recognize that any items that are under $5,000 and have a useful life of less than 2 years would be expensed. We had, as a result of that, we had to restate our depreciation, our accumulated depreciation, and recognize more depreciation expense in 05 on a one-time basis. That was nearly $1 million. So if we had not done it, again, that's really just an accounting issue to be consistent with governmental depreciation methods that we thought were most appropriate. But that resulted in an extra depreciation in 05 of about $1 million as we wrote those assets down in 05. If we had not had that, you'd have had about $1 million more, $1 million less in expenses and about $1 million more in operating income. We would have gotten pretty close to 04's results if you hadn't had that one-time entry. On the non-operating items, and again, in your statistical section, you can actually see the detail of the items that make up those totals. But the main difference there is you look, and you can see in the middle it came quite a bit down to $3 million from $10 million. And the main difference there is we had a couple of transactions. The transfer of the W.M. Morris facility to the city of Waco resulted in about a $2.5 million payment to us and a gain on that transaction that was recognized in 2004 that we didn't have in the other years. And then in addition, we had some capital contributions also in 2004, as I explained before, some projects that we got reimbursed for in that year. But otherwise, those are the operating what the non-operating items really amount to is their interest income, their interest expense, their capital contributions, as I've discussed, and their any gain or loss on sale of assets. And again, the $12.9 million, you see the big negative, $9.4 million of that was, again, the transfer of the asset of the Lake Allen Henry property to the city of Lubbock was attributed to that. So anyway, that brings you to the net income and loss line, which you can actually see in each of the in the CAFR, and an $8.2 million for this year. And that's why it jumps around a little bit. It's primarily attributed to the non-operating items more than anything. From a working capital standpoint, you can see our working capital did go down significantly this year, as we expected and budgeted for, and it was mainly attributed to expenditures of capital projects that we had for the year. Again, it was consistent with what we planned and consistent with our budget that we had. Again, next year, as you remember back just a minute ago, we talked about the first quarter year. We'll actually end the year in 06 with about the same working capital as we did, because we'll be reimbursing ourselves from our debt proceeds for about the same amount of money that we'll spend this year on capital projects. So it really represents the working capital decrease, really represents a transfer of working capital assets to capital assets. It's what for the most part it does. It's not like you're losing that amount of money. It's really you're just converting your working capital, in some cases your cash investments, to capital assets that will hopefully be more productive. Anyway, and then the very last line, the total net assets, you can think of that's our equity, if you will, in the authority. And, of course, it went down about $8 million because that difference is exactly what the net income and loss was. But, again, that's really that's related to the Lake Allen Henry write-down. That's where all that came from, for the most part. Yes, sir.
Your policy now is not capitalizing anything under $5,000 or two or less years?
Yes, sir.
And not those kind of expenditures would typically not be found in bond issue items. Is that correct?
That's correct.
You wouldn't want bonds something you go write off as an expense. What would be a typical, is that software?
Yes, a lot of IT expenditures. Probably the biggest part of that would be computers and live and things like that, because they're all under that we would expense. Any questions on that? Yes.
Just one question, and you may have covered it all. On page 52 of our book, I think it's basically the same schedule but has more detail in it. And on the non-operating revenues expenses, all the rest of the totals compare with the non-operating items. The bottom line doesn't seem to...
You're exactly right, and I appreciate you bringing that up. I should have pointed that out. I added, for purposes of the non-operating items, I added the line capital contributions in there also. You see the second to last line?
Uh-huh.
If you take that, like for instance in 05, if you look on that page, it's $17,159,000 negative, but if you add the $4,177,000, you'll actually get, I believe, the $12,982,000.
Okay.
So I included, when I said non-operating, even though it's not in that category now, I made it part of the non-operating because I had to ultimately reconcile down to the net income. So, and you can see we didn't have any capital contributions in 03. So it's the same number in 03 as the non-operating before, but the other two are different.
Okay.
So that's that was just for presentation. I did that.
John?
Yes.
Just for clarification, none of our other three lakes had the same sort of an agreement that we did with Allen Henry. I mean, they are ours permanently.
That's correct. That's correct. Possum Kingdom, Grand Prairie, and Lake Limestone are all owned by us. And we're not part of the same kind of agreement that we built Lake Allen Henry under.
And just for, and I don't know, when was Allen Henry established? Do that?
When was
just
that?
Approximately.
The 80s, was it in the late? Mid to late 80s, I believe.
And so from the beginning, we were contracted to build the lake and then turn it over from the beginning.
That's right. It was all planned. It would be turned. It was just a function of when that was to happen.
And so that was kind of waiting on Lubbock to tell us when they were ready to take it over. Is that not correct?
But they had the option that whenever they wanted to pay it off.
Exactly. And I know that's sort of a big shock when you see a big loss, and but again, it really is more of an accounting issue than anything. I mean, it was from that standpoint. So it really doesn't have impact really from an operation or certainly from a cash standpoint or anything like that. So, any other?
I noticed also in there it talked about the purchasing of the storage of the water, you know, from the federal government. That's fairly long term. I mean,
yes.
Is there any big bill coming up where we have to redo that? Or?
No, that's a long term agreement, and we have long term debt payments that we make on a routine basis for still a number of years that we pay for those core lakes. And we have an asset on our books representing the storage rights, and we have a liability on our books, which represents the contract payable that we have that we pay it down over time, and we amortize the storage rights over time, too. So that's what happens there.
Is there any big bill coming up, like within the next 10 years, that we have to repurchase those the water?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't. Not that I know.
John?
Yes.
This is kind of back on the budget or combination. Are we pretty well on track time wise with our capital projects? I know there's been some delays and some and all. I'm just looking at the cash flow, and I didn't know certain projects when they were supposed to be completed.
Yes, I think we are. I think we are. You know, we have two or three major projects. The PK project, I know that we're on time on that project. Mike could probably speak more to that, but I think all the other ones are, you know, our systems operation and our price study projects are moving along, and all the other ones, I think, that I know. We'll be able to give you a little more in the second quarter. When we get to the second quarter and come in April, we probably can give you a better look of where our expenditures are than just after the first quarter.
I'd like to continue on that one. On our SysOps, where we have delays and the hearings coming up, and Bill, you might have some. What kind of budgetary impact does that have on us in terms of our original estimate of what that might cost? Are those delays, how costly are those delays?
I can address that, I guess. Our agreements with our consultants are all fixed fee.
Okay.
And you know, it just elongates the cash flow as it doesn't increase the cost.
Okay.
One item that I forgot to mention, it was in your folder when you came in. There were two replacement pages to the guarantee, you may have noticed. And those are really corrections that we discovered on our side during since the time that it was mailed out. One of them was on page 50, and the other was on page 54. And if you'll just replace those pages, they're front and back, but the changes are just on one side of it. But the page 50 change was simply, just to let you know, the page 50 change was just an allocation in the budget column between interest expense and debt service principal. We didn't have that quite right in the first report, so it didn't really change anything other than just allocating those two. And it changed the variances, but not in total, just one or two. And then the other page, with page 54, is in the statistical section. And it really was just correcting, in some cases, the name. We got the customer name a little more accurately in regards to Texas Genco and TXU Electric in a couple of cases. And also, there were some revenues as we looked at a little closer. This came off of our billing system, and we reconciled those revenues to there were a couple of items that were left out of there the first time through, so we corrected that. But it's really more informational items and stuff, but it just makes it more certainly more accurate. We're required to show the 10 largest customers for all of our operations in our water supply system, and that's what it is. And it's actually pretty helpful information. So those were two corrections there. I didn't know if anybody had found any other, any other items that anyone had noticed, whether it's a grammatical nature or anything. We'd be, we certainly want to get that in.
Just a question on the schedule that shows the lead levels.
Yes.
On page 59, mm-hmm. year 2003, it says elevation of the first of the year is 955.67.
I'm sorry, what year was that?
2003, the elevation is the first of the year. Oh.
Elevation during year?
Elevation at the first of the year.
Well, at the first year, 955.67.67, you're saying was not?
I don't think so.
I would have to defer to our water services people where that is. That wouldn't be right, would it?
The deer.
We will correct that. You're exactly right. It was a good catch. That really should have.
We only put it down one time.
So I'm sure that's not.
And that's 2 years ago, and I know it wasn't down to 43.
We put it down to
88.
This is where we would normally introduce Ben Cunley's partner at Grant Thornton. He had said he's going to be here, but last time I talked, it would be about 9 o'clock, so we've got a few minutes, unless he gets here in just a few minutes early. And he has a presentation where he'll go through their observations and their reports. So we can either wait on that a minute and go to the next item and come back, because I'm sure he'll be here in just a few minutes.
I would recommend we temporarily suspend our discussions on this agenda item and then go to the next one, and then we'll come back when Ben arrives.